Well, this morning we're going to have a visit with a veteran and someone who has also been working very hard in his post-military career. Lieutenant General John Bradley joins us today. He spent time as Chief of Air Force Reserve and had quite a distinguished Air Force career before retiring and moving on to his post-military life. General, good morning.
Good morning. It's great to be with you, Jim.
I appreciate you spending a little bit of time with us. The reason we wanted to visit this morning is you're going to be making a couple of presentations here locally this next week, one during the Atlantic Rotary Club's meeting on Tuesday at noon at the Heritage House, and another opportunity right after that to follow that up with a visit with Exira EHK students about a program that you've really done since you've retired from your Air Force career. Can you talk a little bit about the program that you and your wife have put together?
Yes, I can, and I'm very excited to get to visit this part of Iowa again. I was there earlier in the year with my wife, and I made some great friends there, and I'm looking forward to going back and speaking at the Rotary Club function, particularly about veterans, and we're welcoming as many veterans as can come, so I'm looking forward to that. But as to the program that I'm involved in now, since I retired from the Air Force 5 years ago, my wife and I started a nonprofit foundation to build schools for girls in Afghanistan and to help with some economic opportunities for Afghans through some job training. And we also work in refugee camps, and we send a large amount of humanitarian aid to Afghanistan. So my wife and I travel to Afghanistan twice a year. We spend about a month each time we go. And we work in refugee camps. We build our schools, and we're currently building our sixth school now. This is one that's for 500 girls, and we're very excited about it.
You know, the easiest thing in the world to do for some veterans would be just to do your service. If it happens to be in Afghanistan, so be it. You deal with what you have to deal with while you're there, but once your time is finished, you move on, and you move on with your life, and you don't think about it anymore. You took a different path. Why?
Well, the story revolves around a little 9-year-old girl. But first, I would like in Afghanistan. But first, I'd like to tell you that I served in the U.S. Air Force for 41 years, and I was incredibly blessed. I was very fortunate and lucky, and I feel that this country has been very good to me, and I feel like I owe something back. And this is the way I do it. My wife and I feel very passionately about helping people in need. There are people in need all over this world, and including here in the United States, and we do try to do some things to help people here as well. But Afghan women and girls are very dispossessed, and a little 9-year-old girl came up and begged me for some boots when I was there in the Air Force on a brief visit, and that is what gave us the start. Our foundation work.
Most folks think they know poverty and think they know hardship because they think they've seen it, but they would probably still be shocked by some of the things that they might see in a place like Afghanistan.
You know, Jim, you're exactly right, and I've never seen anything like it. I've been to Haiti, and Haiti is a very impoverished place. Afghanistan is, they say, the worst place on the planet Earth to be born a woman. My wife Jan and I have been in refugee camps there. We've been in rural villages. We've been throughout the city of Kabul. The refugee camps in the city of Kabul hold 40,000 people in numerous camps. And these are people who are living in absolutely horrible conditions. The city of Kabul is over 6,000 feet in elevation. It's nestled in the mountains. They have very brutal winter, cold, snow. Babies die in these camps. These are families that are living in tents for years on end in just horrible conditions. And it's just, it touches you when you go see these people, see the need, and try to help them. So we do the best we can to try to make this work as best we can to help these people. But it's a tough life they live there.
You know, simple things that we just expect, that we expect in our everyday lives. Simple things like, for example, an education. You know, you can give somebody something, an item, and that's great. It's always nice to be charitable. But if you're giving someone an education, you open up the whole world to them. And I know you and your wife have spent a lot of time trying to set up educational opportunities.
Yes, we have. As I said, we are building our sixth school now, and we're very excited about that because this is 500 girls that will get to go to this sixth school we're building. It should be finished in the next 3 or 4 months. The walls are coming up, and it's going to be a wonderful school. This is an area where these girls currently are going to school, sitting under a tarpaulin with some concrete blocks on the side, and those blocks are maybe 6 feet high, and there's a tarp stretched over it. So a tall person could walk in there, and their head would hit this tarp, and they're sitting on the ground under this tarpaulin going to school. And they do this from March to December. Their school year is March to December because of harsh winter weather. And so in the hot summer, they're sitting under this tarp inside these concrete block little rooms. It's not a building. It's just some walls with no roof other than this tarpaulin. So giving these girls a chance to go to school in a nice building that has electricity and electric lights and ceiling fans and desks for them to sit in, it's just a wonderful thing. And it's just been thrilling for us to see things like this happen as we built our schools in the past. So we're very excited about this work. Here's how we feel about this education. We've been educating boys there a long time. Look where we are, okay? And it's important to educate boys. Do not get me wrong. And some of the buildings that we build are for girls and boys. But girls have been very disadvantaged there for many years. We feel education is the key to the future, the key to a good future in Afghanistan. When you educate a boy, you educate a boy. When you educate a girl, you educate a family, because she will grow up to be a wife and a mother who knows the value of education, who will teach her boys how to treat girls with dignity and respect, and teach her girls the importance of education and learning job skills. That's why this is so important.
Yeah, important to get out of that continued cycle that we constantly see like that. Now, I know you mentioned a couple of times a year you and your wife will head over to Afghanistan to administer some of the aid that you've been able to put together. The rest of the year is spent doing what? A lot of things like this, generating money and interest?
That's what we try to do. We don't generate enough interest. We'd like to generate more. Thank you. But, yes, this is what my wife and I do all day, every day, is we work on this foundation. And this is a volunteer nonprofit foundation, and my wife and I do not take any money from the foundation. We don't earn anything from this. We are using our retirement and our savings to do everything that we do. When we travel to Afghanistan, we pay our own way. We don't use foundation money. So when people make a donation to our foundation, the Lamia Afghan Foundation, that money goes to build a school. Or maybe it helps us rent a truck to distribute humanitarian aid when we're there. But we don't make any money off of this. We lose money off of this, so to speak. But we spend every day trying to do this. This is our fun. This is our passion. This is what we want to do in our retirement.
You mentioned that the whole idea really kind of revolved around that little 9-year-old girl, Lamia, who came up to you at that time and asked for some boots to help out on a cold day where she's just wearing sandals. Do you keep in touch? Where is she now?
Yes, we do, and she's still living in the same house in remote part of Parwan province, which is up north of Kabul, the capital city. Lamia has no last name. She's never been to school. We've not been able to convince her family to let her go to school. She's a precious little girl. She's a beautiful little girl. She's 14 to 15 years old now. They don't know when she was born. But she was the inspiration for our foundation. We visit her every time we go to Afghanistan. I have lots of photographs of her and her family. She lives in a typical Afghan mud house, dirt floors, no glass in the windows, no heat, no electricity, no running water in the house, no bathroom in the house. It's a very tough life. And, you know, in the big cities like Kabul and Herat and Mazar-e Sharif and all, there are nicer places for people to live, somewhat nicer. But out in the villages, the rural parts of Afghanistan, people live in a pretty tough environment, and they're cooking over fires that are built in little holes dug in their dirt floor of their little kitchen. So this is a life that's much like it was probably 200 years ago, and not much progress is made in those areas. And that's the life that Lamia lives. And
She's a wonderful little girl. We see her, visit her.
Well, like you say, the easiest thing in the world to do would be to have the experience and then move on with your life, but you and your wife have chosen to do just the opposite, and I'm sure a lot of people are much better off now because of that effort. And if folks want to hear more about the story, again, the Atlantic Rotary Club meeting this Tuesday, November 5th at noon at the Heritage House, and they always have room for a few more, and they do invite veterans. This is going to be their Veterans Day program as well. So if you are a veteran and you want to stop by, they won't even charge you for lunch. You can enjoy that, too. They just ask you to let them know so they can plan for meals. And I know you're going to be talking to some of the Exira EHK high school students as well to give them an idea of some of those exploits. And if folks want to donate or they want to learn more, General, how can they do that?
Well, we have a website. It's you can just Google Lamia Afghan Foundation, L-A-M-I-A, and it will tell you how to do that. But you can learn more about our foundation and our work through that website and make a donation there. By you can write a check, you can do it through PayPal. It works either way, or just look at it and be interested in it. I don't ever go out and ask people for money, but we certainly are grateful for any contributions we can get, because this work is important and we want to continue it. And I think it's in the national security interest of the United States for us to be successful in Afghanistan. And part of that success is providing opportunities for people in Afghanistan. It's in a very critical part of the world for us, and it's important for us to maintain a strategic relationship there. So as Americans, we need to continue to care about Afghanistan. And the best thing that can happen there is to give people opportunities to educate girls and boys, and to give them opportunities to get jobs so they can have a good, successful, democratic government continuing there.
Well, I know I've had a chance to look through your biography, and you've done a lot of impressive things you should be very proud of, but this is probably right up there on the list for you.
Well, thank you. I've been most fortunate and most blessed, and I loved my time in the U.S. Air Force. But I think that the work that I'm doing now may be way more important than any of that. But I was very fortunate in my career. Thank you.
Well, I'm sure there are a lot of young people in Afghanistan that feel the same way, too. Lieutenant General John Bradley, retired from the United States Air Force, but hardly retired from helping out many who need that help overseas through the Lamia Afghan Project. Thanks a lot again for your time here this morning, and we salute you for your service. Thank you for all that you've done.
Thank you very much, Jim, and thank you to your listeners. And it was a true pleasure to be able to serve our country.